Turn to the book of Revelation. It's time and probably past time we talked about this. It's time that we have more concern, and I really am getting concerned, about a real God encounter. Of really an intimate relationship that is more important than any other aspect of our life. I sat and talked to a pastor yesterday at the funeral. As we were talking, it just naturally came up that, boy, we need more encounters. We need more praise. We need more worship. We need more people pursuing God. We still need to recognize in this body, in this community, and in this region, that the most important part of the service is worshiping God. Amen. Coming to a place where we are adoring and loving and honoring Him, where He has the freedom. You say, well, God's not bound. He has the freedom in your life to visit you. He has the freedom to come in and wake you up in the middle of the night because you've invited Him to. Because you've decided that your pursuit of God is the most important thing in your life. It's not about going to church. When life becomes about going to church, it's taking the place of what are you doing out there? How am I living out there? What is God doing in my life out there? Because as we come to Him out there, we're going to sense more of Him in here. Now, there are some amazing things happening, and I'm just going to talk to you today. I'm going to talk to you about encounters. And we need Kirk to help explain that. Because this is not something about stepping on your toes. It's something to whet your appetite. You know, I wish that I had spiritual saltine crackers and you'd just want to drink after we ate them. We ate them together and we'd be thirsty to drink of the Holy Spirit. But we had a man come from Fargo to the breakfast on Friday, and he's part of YWAM. Is it still part of YWAM? And he was sharing, did Matt share the story? Kirk's going to share a story.
So YWAM is getting ready to start doing some just cool as anything outreaches in this area in Watertown, some of the small towns around here. And he was just kind of connecting with us on that. And so Pastor told his story that I think he's going to tell probably, or maybe not, whatever.
Yeah.
And so this guy said, he said, oh, that reminds me of what one of our leaders, a story that he told us, and a guy that he knows in YWAM felt called to go to Azerbaijan. I'd say that 10 times fast. I don't know where that is, but I know it's next to Iran. Okay, so completely Muslim country, completely closed.
YWAM is Youth with a Mission.
Youth with a Mission is what the organization is. If any of you remember Jennifer Jorgensen, she went and signed up with them and did missionary work in Hawaii and did missionary work in Australia. And just life-changing. We really support that organization. Anyways, so they're all about missionary work and changing lives and, you know, what we should be about. So this guy, we'll call him Mark. I don't know what his name is, but we'll just say Mark. So Mark feels led to go to Azerbaijan and goes with a friend of his. I don't know how many all went, but it's a Muslim country and it's not open at all. Like, you can't just go and, hey, we're Christians. And, you know, like some countries, you can do that. But if you try to win converts, we'll cut your head off. This country, if you go in and say, hey, I'm a Christian, we'll cut your head off. Okay? You can't show a Bible. You can't give any indication that you're a Christ follower. All right? Do we get that? Just they're completely closed off, completely hostile. And so, I mean, just they're fearing for their life, but they're feeling like God's called them to go in. So Mark and his friend, and I don't know who else, but for sure those two went. And so they got over there, and I don't know how long they were there, but they one day were going out to a well. And so they go out to this well, and they're getting water, and an older Muslim gentleman comes up. And then, you know, they're both, you know, it's always a little tense and nervous. You don't know for sure because you're strangers in their country. And so they're drawing the water out. And all of a sudden, Mark's friend, and Mark was kind of the leader of the whole deal. Mark's friend turns to the guy and just starts speaking in tongues. And Mark's like, oh, we're dead. Hey, seriously. He's like, what are you doing? And so he's just forcefully just speaking in tongues at this Muslim guy, and the Muslim guy stands up and he's just glaring at Mark's friend, and this exchange is happening, and Mark's trying to hold, you know, not run to the bathroom or go in his pants, and he's just, I mean, it's really, really serious. And so he's just, I mean, just forcefully just blah, 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 blah. And so after he gets done, the Muslim guy is already kind of just ruffled and stood up, and he just kind of in Azerbaijan, he just speaks back and blah, 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 you know, whatever. And it probably didn't quite sound quite like that, but you know. And so Mark's like, we're dead. This is it. You can't do that. We're dead. And so his friend does it again. He's like, oh, and what do we do? And so Mark's thinking, what do we do? Where do we run? How are we going to get out of here? We're stuck. We can't, you know, we can't exit the country. We're done for. And so the Muslim guy is already kind of, he gets up now and heads back towards the village. And Mark's like, grabs his friend. What are you doing? We're going to die. You can't do that. You can't be Christian here. We're going to die. We've got to go. He's like, let's run. And the guy's like, no, God told me to do that. I'm not leaving. He's like, we got to go. And so he's pleading. I mean, begging as the leader of this little expedition, he's begging with him. We're going to die here. This is the end of our lives. Is this what, you know, is this the fulfillment of our mission here? We're done for. He's coming back. They're going to come back with swords and guns, and they're going to kill us. And Mark said, his friend said, no, I'm not leaving. So Mark said, all right, I'll stay with you. It's our swan song. Yep, we'll die together. The guy goes back to the village, gets his son, who's a professor and who knows English. And they come back, and his son walks up. First thing he says, the son says, we know you're from Allah. And he just stood there and said, really? He said, we know you're from Allah. He said, well, why? Because you spoke to my father in Azerbaijani. But not only did you speak in Azerbaijani, you spoke in our dialect of Azerbaijani, and you spoke every word perfectly. And the only way English people can speak Azerbaijani is English Azerbaijani, and that's not what we speak here. And you can't speak our dialect. And we know that you're from Allah. And so the guy said, well, we're Christians. He said, I know, but we know you're from Allah. And so Mark's friend, the whole time, I don't know if he had revealed this to Mark or not, it doesn't really matter. The whole time he felt when they were in Azerbaijan, because it's on the border of Iran, he sensed in his spirit that they were going to be getting into Iran somehow. That it was all about getting into Iran. They wanted to establish a base there for outreach and, you know, just reaching Muslims. But they felt like Mark's friend had felt like it was a gateway. He felt like specifically it was a gateway to Iran. And so Mark said, can you tell me what did my friend say to your father? He said, well, he said he asked us twice to take you guys to Iran. He said, which is good because my father's for the last either 20 or 40 years has been traveling the road to the Iranian border, and he knows all the checkpoints and he knows all the guards. And consequently, they got into Iran. They established a YWAM base just south of there in Azerbaijan, and was just an amazing, amazing thing.
It doesn't get much better than that, but I got a call this week from Dave Leesocker. Dave Leesocker has a friend that's been trying to get into Thailand, and Thailand, I believe is Thailand, is very difficult to get in. The country is different. Forgive me when you talk to Dave. Anyway, this lady come to the Thai border can't speak the language, doesn't have any papers, doesn't have the things she needs to get in. And so she walks up and starts talking to the check-in, the guard. And she's speaking English, but he's here in Taiwanese. Or Taiwan, or Thailand language, not Taiwanese. And when he's talking back to her, he's talking in the Thailand, and she's hearing English. And so they carry on a conversation. She's speaking English, he's hearing the Thailand. He's speaking Thai, and she's hearing English. And they let her in. Just let her in. Now, I'm going to tell you something that may sound like I've been smoking some wacky tobacco or something. I believe seriously that there's going to be some transportations happening, that you're going to get up in your home and end up in some foreign country and back before you know what's going on. Just like Philip. I believe there's going to be times you're talking to people and God is just going to absolutely radically take control of the conversation and speak through you, no matter what language. You know, we were talking Wednesday night about the gifts of the Spirit. But I believe these are going to be based on something that we are going to have amazing encounters with God. We can look at everything turning the wrong way. We can look at things and all the stuff happening. But if you do that, you're going to limit what you allow God to do through you. And I want you to understand, I believe personally, and that's why I'm talking about, I may not be preaching this morning, I may just be talking to you, that God is going to encounter you as you just open your life up to let him come. I was reading about a man that's been countering God for wanting more of God, and more of God is a key. You know, how can God give me more? Is he splitting himself? You just get deeper and deeper and deeper into him. And as we get deeper and deeper and deeper into him, we get less and less into ourselves. Right? Yes. And that's what it's all about. And so, this man, and he's a well-known man of God, was saying, God, I just want an encounter. I want to know you more. I want more of you. I want more of you, and I want more of you. And every night as he went to bed, I want more of you. And one night he wakes up and he's absolutely radically shaking. He's acting like he's just spastic. And he has no control over it. And he knows that God is there doing it to him. Just radically moving in bed, and he starts thinking, how am I going to go downtown if I can't stop shaking? How am I going to preach on Sunday if this thing continues? How am I going to do all this stuff? And for several hours, he had a God encounter that changed his life. Do you realize, and don't get afraid now, and don't back and say, I don't want any of that stuff. Do you realize that when God's presence comes in to the degree he wants to come in, our flesh is going to react? But God still wants to come in. And he wants to bring us to the place where he can do all these fabulous things through us. I was reading this morning, I think Jerry might have mentioned it Wednesday night too, or Friday morning, where when Jesus was walking, the whole city came out. The whole city came out. Can you imagine that? Wouldn't it be nice to walk out of here on a Sunday morning or up at the assembly or whatever church it might be, and all of a sudden the whole city is around your building wanting to hear a word from God? Can we imagine that? Can you imagine you go to work and your boss shuts down what you're doing because the whole organization wants to hear what God has to say for that day? And they're bringing sick people and laying them at your doorstep, and you're walking out and your shadow's touching them and they're being healed. You know, the supernatural is more than just healing and salvation. The supernatural is everything that God can do.
Amen.
You know, there's one thing that we need to understand. There's nothing in heaven falling apart. Is there anything on earth falling apart? Do you understand why? Because we're not putting God into it. Man has decided we can do it ourselves. We can fix it ourselves. We can fix your mind and we can fix your heart and we can do all the physical stuff you need. And we're falling apart because the supernatural is not here and we were designed for the supernatural.
Right.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen? And it's true. Take a look at Revelation with me, just the first chapter. And I may be done in 2 minutes or I may be done in 2 hours. But if you start having a God encounter, just come up here and demonstrate it. I've seen a whole lot of shaking going on. It wasn't Elvis. You know, and seriously, I wouldn't start baking stuff on Sunday mornings in your ovens unless you've got a timer. You may say, what are you talking about? You can always get Dairy Queen. You can always get Pizza Hut. You might go home to a burnt offering. Then it's, the only one that'll eat that is Pastor. But look at this. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about with chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool and as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as refined in a furnace. His voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars out of his mouth. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in strength. And when I saw him, who is this? And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm going to tell you something. Look at me. There's no fear in God, but there are God encounters that in the natural you get afraid of. You say, what? Did John just witness? I fell at his feet as dead. And he looked at me and he read what I was going through and he said, don't be afraid. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and hell. I wrote a lot of stuff down. Some of it I'm going to bypass, but desire, anticipate or expect, and participate with God encounters. I just was reading at random yesterday afternoon and yesterday morning and during the evening hours a little bit here. I had some homework to do for somebody, so I came to church last night and did the homework that somebody else didn't want to do. Didn't I, Patrick? I love being a pastor because they go to college and I do the work in a religious class. And but he's going to pay for it. love you, man. And I noticed something that was so interesting. That people came over and over and over again to Jesus. They just came. The woman with the issue of blood, where'd she go to? She had been everywhere else. She had given all she had. Now she's coming to Jesus. Jairus with his daughter who was dying, where'd he come to? He came to Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus couldn't see him, but he was crying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The 10 lepers, where'd they come? They come to Jesus. The leper that came and fell at his feet came to Jesus, and the Bible says he worshiped him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me whole. And Jesus looked at him and said, I'm willing, be clean. I'm convinced in my spirit that most people have God encounters on purpose. They want an encounter with him. Even the unsaved, they're hungry for something more. They may not even know what they're looking for, but the love and compassion and grace and mercy of God reaches out to them, and they have an encounter with God that absolutely radically changes their life. The North American church don't misunderstand me now, has become a church of the word, but not the word in power. Not the word in authority. Not the word in the commission. Not the word in the calling. And at times, not even the word in the love. And a God encounter changes all that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, and the gospel is not in word, but in power. It says there's an authority when you are speaking the word that comes from an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is speaking through you. If he can take languages and make them clear, and people that don't know the language and speak it out so that a conversation can ensue with others, or that he can talk in English and somebody else hears it in their language, and he can raise the dead and heal the sick and do all the things. What can he do in Sisseton, South Dakota, not a year from now or 2 years from now? What can he do today? Amen. For some reason, the things of God have been watered down and watered down and watered down, and we're missing the fact that God loves the people as that are going to hell right now as much as he loves us. That God wants to minister to those people. And sometimes, my friend, and maybe all the time, it takes supernatural acts. It takes supernatural love. It takes supernatural ministry. It comes to a place where I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but right now, this isn't it. In case you haven't noticed, there's no $16 trillion deficit in heaven. And so God is calling his church to come to him. Come. Come. I'm going to give you words. I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to commission you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to show you what God can really do with ministering to people. At times you don't know what to say. I want you to tell you something. There's never been a time in history when God didn't know what to say. There's never been a time in history when God didn't have the answer to the situation. Do we understand something about this nation? That if the nation would have been walking in the love of God, there never would have been a civil war? Do you ever think about that? And I'm not being racial. I'm just saying, God exactly knows what this nation needs. And what did he tell us this morning through Donna? Just come to him. Come to him. Come. So what's the answer? I'll preach this some other time. I don't need it. Can't believe God would do that to me again. You better pray pastor has a God encounter where he knows what to preach. Tony, come and take over. So what's the answer? I know one thing about my life that has to change. And you may know 20 things, but I don't have time for that. I cannot have a casual relationship with Jesus Christ. It can't be casual. It can't be second or third place. I can't put it on the back burner. I can't come to a place where everything else is more important. And I'm going to tell you something. Look at me now. Better say this. I love pastor fearing. Now, if you get mad and get your feelings hurt and don't come back, God's going to deal with you in a loving way. I can't be more concerned about you than I can about my relationship to him. It's hard. I love you. You're like a fam. We're a family. But I have to spend that time with God. I want to spend that time with God. Because we all need to. I'm not going to tell you that you're sinning if you watch television. I'm not going to say that. I watch some television. But don't let television take your time away from God. Spend time with him. You know, you have an occupation, you have a job, but that job is not you. You are a child of God. You are a believer when you do your work. You are walking in the Spirit of God when you do your work. You're demonstrating to people the love of Jesus. And it's not about a job. It's about a relationship with God that enables you to do your job more effectively, more efficiently, and also spiritually. And so don't be casual. Number two, these are just coming off the top of my head through the Holy Spirit, so just hang on. You won't find them on the notes. Don't be ashamed to be a Christian. Don't be ashamed. Hello, Martha. She's still with us. Praise God. Don't be ashamed. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Stand. Stand. I've been asked, I'm not getting political, I've been asked a lot about marriage lately. The doctor asked me on Friday. People I exercise with ask me. I just come up with a simple answer. Man had nothing to do with marriage. And God didn't put Adam and Steve in the garden. But you can use the political things to start telling them about Jesus. It seems like that's one of the hot topics right now. God made marriage. And God knew what he was doing. And you can share that with people. If they're going to ask them, do you trust me enough to believe, hear my answer? But God will bring encounters along, and it may not start out where you want it to start out. It can end up where God wants it to end up. Don't be ashamed to say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I follow the Bible. I believe what God has said. And I believe what the Bible says will happen. Amen? Come on. It's okay. Number three. Don't be afraid to pray for somebody. Don't be afraid. Well, what if nothing happens? Then nothing happens. You didn't cause the nothing and you didn't cause the problem. If people have a need, trust God. Step in there. Lay your hands on them. Cast out the devils. You say, how bad is the condition now? You can't make it any worse. Amen? You know, I hear that a lot of time. I was talking to a pastor a while back, and he said, well, what if nothing happens? It's not your thing to make it happen. God has to through you.
Amen.
At least you showed them you love them. At least you showed them you care. You show them you care. I've had people tell me, no, I don't want you praying for me. Okay, I'm not the right religion. That's fine. But at least I tried. Now they're more friendly than ever, but they still won't let me pray for them. Doesn't matter. I saw a man come into the hospital. I said, do you mind if I pray for it? And his wife said, what religion are you? And I said, I'm not that one. I didn't make it. But now when they see me, they at least talk to me. It's amazing life out there. Don't live your life hiding or fearful. Get in an encounter with God that radically changes your life. I read yesterday on the back of the card for Dan Renus that Dan was frustrated with long-winded preachers. Dan went to be with the Lord and pray for the Renus family, Frieda and her sister there. Gusty. So I'm not going to be long-winded. I don't want Dan upset with me his first few days in heaven. Everybody said amen. You missed it. But listen to me. There are a lot of Christians, people that experience God asking, God, where's the power? Where's the anointing? How come these things don't happen when we pray? Why is this and why is that? Let me tell you something. As we get closer to God, we'll have a lot more answers and a lot more miracles, a lot more things happening. And you say, what do you mean by getting closer to God? I mean developing the relationship, understanding that you know His voice, realizing how much He really loves you. Some of you may not get close to God because you think God doesn't want to be close to you. That's not coming from God. God's never pushing you away. God says, come. If Jesus died for you, why would He push you away? If He went through the whole cross thing and all the grace and all the mercy that He demonstrated, why would He say, yeah, I just want a casual relationship with you now? I don't think so. And I know that isn't the case. If you're under 30 years old, I almost can remember that time. If you're under 30 years old, think of the life that you can experience. And don't be like people, sometimes like me, that casually served God for a while and then, you know, just jumped in finally. And I'm not where I'm going. I'm not where I'm going to be. I'm not in that relationship that I'm going to have, but I'm pursuing it. You can't believe what God has in store for you as you say, I want an encounter with you, God. I want more of this. I want more of your presence, more of your power. God's never going to say, no, you can't have that because you don't have this or you don't have that or you've done this. It's never going to happen. With open arms, he's embracing the heart desire that you have to be like him. And why can't the whole city of Wabe or the community of Enemy Swim or the community of Rosholt or Britton or Effington or Browns Valley or Sisseton or wherever, to wherever town for town, I'm even Peaver, Ray. Got to get Peaver in there, I'm sorry. Why can't all those people just be gathered and hear about God? Just hear about God. You know, we have not because we what? Can you claim your city? Can you claim Wheaton? Can you claim these towns? Roslyn? Why not even Minneapolis? For Jesus? I was telling Pastor Vern, because we got in a little bit of a discussion, I said, when I first came to Sisseton, there were times I left town I didn't want to come back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There was such an oppression. There was such a bondage. I just wanted to keep on going. And as soon as I came down the hill from Summit or came going south from Fargo, it just felt like there was just a cloud. I don't have that anymore. There's something happening. There's a change that's happened in the past few years. And if that change is happening, let's break it wide open. Let's just break it wide open. Let's just see God do it. And you know something? There's a couple other churches in town that want to see it happen. Why not join with them? Why not get together? Why not love one another? Why not see the hand of God in unity? One will put 1,000 and two will put how many?
10,000.
So how many thousands can we put? We could put the whole state of South Dakota running. You know? Why not? Running to God. Running to God. I encourage you. I would just encourage you, and I'm done. I know it's noon, but that's Kirk's fault, not mine. Why not just say, God, I double dog dare you just to bless me. What is that show that comes on pretty quick? Christmas Story. God, I just come. Just come. Just do it. And God, it doesn't matter where. I'll start shaking in the post office. I don't care. Doesn't matter. Somebody said, I think it was Dwight Moody said, or Mr. Wesley, if you want to gather a crowd and tell them about Jesus, just start burning and everybody will come to watch the fire. Do it for Jesus. We start having compassion for people. We start wanting to minister to people. We start because we care. We start because we love. We start because that's what God wants us to do. And we just let it flow. Amen?